Welcome to The Pain Puzzle, an educational series to help you understand chronic low back pain and how you can use mind-based therapies to better manage your pain and get back to the life you love. The Pain Puzzle is brought to you by Relio, a science-backed digital program that combines cutting-edge pain science education with the effective power of clinical hypnosis to get to the root cause of your pain. My name is Fiona. I'm a healthcare practitioner who'll be guiding you through this educational series. In this episode, I'll be diving into the research behind clinical hypnosis. Hopefully, this episode helps to start shifting the perceptions of hypnosis as a mind control tool that makes you cluck like a chicken to an effective therapeutic intervention. Let's get started. So, first things first, what is hypnosis? The American Psychological Association defines hypnosis as a state of consciousness involving focused attention and reduced peripheral awareness, characterized by an enhanced capacity for response to suggestion. In simple terms, it's basically a state of relaxed focus, which means the body is relaxed, but the mind is in a state of focused attention and more open to suggestions. In this way, hypnosis can be used as a psychological treatment for changing sensations, perceptions, thought patterns, and behaviors. So, what's the research behind it? The good news is extensive scientific evidence has accumulated to support the use of hypnosis as an effective, non-addictive method of pain management. The treatment of pain is arguably the most extensively studied clinical application of hypnosis. For this episode, I'm going to do a deep dive into three of the highest quality meta-analyses that have looked at hypnosis for pain management. And I'll also link these studies in the show notes for you to take a look at. But firstly, I'll need to run through a few pointers to help make sense of these research studies. What is a meta-analysis, I hear you say? This is a type of study that combines and analyzes the results from multiple individual research trials to provide a more comprehensive understanding of a particular research topic. In this case, how effective is hypnosis in managing pain? It's also important to differentiate between clinical versus experimental pain trials, because the meta-analyses I'll talk about include a bit of both. Clinical pain trials involve participants who have a specific chronic pain condition, and they aim to evaluate the effectiveness of an intervention in real-world settings. In contrast, experimental pain trials involve inducing pain in healthy volunteers to study pain mechanisms under controlled laboratory conditions. While obviously clinical pain trials are more applicable to those living with chronic pain, experimental trials provide important foundations for understanding the mechanisms of hypnosis for pain relief. The next thing I want to touch on is effect size. Effect size in a research study tells us how big of an impact there is between groups or conditions that are being compared. It helps us to understand if something actually made a noticeable difference beyond just chance. A small effect size would be equal to 0.2. This means some impact was seen, but it was small. A medium effect size is equal to 0.5, and this means a moderate, noticeable impact was seen. And a large effect size is equal to 0.8, and this means that a significant impact was seen. Okay, now we've gone through that, let's jump into these studies. The first comprehensive meta-analysis on the effectiveness of hypnotic analgesia was done by Dr. Guy Montgomery, who's an experienced clinical psychologist and a fellow of the American Psychological Association, and his colleagues in 2000. They analyzed 27 randomized control trials, which are gold standard research trials to test the effectiveness of treatments or interventions. The meta-analyses included both clinical and experimental pain trials. The researchers found through this meta-analysis a significant moderate effect size of 0.67 in hypnosis groups. In the 10 clinical pain trials included in this meta-analysis, Remember that clinical pain trials are those in real-world settings. The effect size increased to 0.74. So this is sitting somewhere between a moderate noticeable impact and a significant impact. What these results mean, in essence, is that the average participant receiving hypnosis reduced their pain by more than 75% compared to control participants. The second meta-analysis I want to look at was published in 2014 by Dr. Tomonori Adachi and his colleagues at Osaka University in Japan. They analysed 12 clinical trials that focused on hypnosis in the management of chronic pain, and they also found a significant moderate effect size of 0.6 when compared to standard care. They also found that hypnosis led to larger effect sizes when compared to other psychological interventions, including cognitive behavioural therapy. The final meta-analysis I want to cover was published in 2021 by Dr. Leonard Milling, also a fellow of the American Psychological Association, and his colleagues. This is the most up-to-date and comprehensive meta-analysis on hypnosis for the alleviation of clinical pain. This research group analysed 42 trials on clinical pain and found a significant moderate mean weighted effect size of 0.6. In other words, they saw an average pain reduction of 73% when hypnosis interventions were used compared to a control. When they analysed 19 trials with the most robust methodology, or of the highest quality, the mean weighted effect size increased to 0.77, which means an average pain reduction of 79% compared to control. The researchers suggest this may represent the most accurate estimate of the pain-relieving effects of hypnosis, given the higher quality of these trials. So, to summarise, across 81 high-quality research trials analysed in those three meta-analyses, the effect sizes ranged from 0.60 to 0.77, which indicates a significant moderate impact of hypnosis interventions for pain management. But I bet you're now asking, how does this stack up against other interventions for pain, like medications, surgery, or implantation devices? Well, there are considerable benefits of hypnosis when compared to other pain treatments. Firstly, hypnosis is not addictive, and there are very few, if any, side effects. In comparison, many of the default solutions for chronic pain carry significant side effects and have been shown to cause harm in some cases. Unlike with medications and surgeries, hypnosis also encourages a more proactive role for the patient in managing their pain, which is much more empowering than being a passive recipient of treatments and feeling like the solution to your pain is out of your control. So let's see how hypnosis stacks up against some other default solutions in the market for managing chronic low back pain, starting with opioids. Opioids are the most commonly prescribed treatment for chronic low back pain, with close to 50% of patients using two or more opioids simultaneously. One meta-analysis explored the effectiveness of opioids in chronic pain management and found a mean effect size of 0.60. Remember that overall hypnosis effect sizes from the meta-analyses we chatted about previously ranged from 0.60 to 0.77. However, the authors noted that 90% of the included opioid trials were either funded by or had one or more co-authors affiliated with the pharmaceutical industry. Unfortunately, opioids also aren't well tolerated, and they carry significant side effects. Clinical trials have seen very high withdrawal rates of up to 60% at 12 weeks, with many of these withdrawals occurring in the first few weeks. On top of this, studies have found rates of opioid misuse are between 21 and 29%, and the rates of addiction between 8 and 12%. In comparison, hypnosis is a non-addictive intervention, with research showing high satisfaction rates even when a reduction in pain wasn't achieved. Cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, is currently considered as the gold standard psychotherapy intervention. A meta-analysis looked at the use of CBT for chronic pain and found CBT produced a small to moderate effect size of 0.47. It's therefore possible that hypnosis is more effective than CBT for managing chronic pain. However, these treatments don't have to be mutually exclusive. Studies have reported that using hypnosis as an adjunct to CBT enhances treatment outcomes for chronic pain. So these two treatments can go hand in hand really nicely. Let's now look at surgery. A meta-analysis exploring the effectiveness of spinal fusion, which is the most common surgery used to treat chronic low back pain, concluded that improvements in function following this surgery were not seen to be statistically significant and were therefore of minimal clinical importance. As a result, the authors state that surgeons should recommend spinal fusion cautiously to patients with chronic low back pain. In addition to this, studies have also found that after spinal fusion, just 19% of people returned to work within 2 years. Almost 1 in 5 patients needed a second spinal surgery within 2 years of the first operation, with some needing up to 5 reoperations. And finally, spinal cord stimulators, which have been causing a bit of a stir in the media as of late. So spinal cord stimulators are devices implanted under the skin to deliver electrical signals that are intended to interfere with how pain messages are interpreted by the brain. These are promoted as providing long-term relief from chronic back pain, particularly when other interventions like surgery have failed. However, a recent review concluded that spinal cord stimulation is no better than a placebo for treating low back pain and may in fact cause significant harm. Research trials have found 67% of patients with spinal cord stimulators experienced an adverse event, like nerve damage, infection, and electrical leads moving, all of which leads to repeated surgeries. In essence, spinal cord stimulators elicit a huge financial burden on the patient, with very little benefits. This all leads me to thinking there must be a better way to manage chronic low back pain. Hypnosis is packing a punch when it comes to vying for a spot as a default treatment for chronic pain. It carries very minimal side effects or safety concerns. It has a high level of tolerability. It's affordable, and it's a more empowering intervention for the patient. The problem we face is that hypnosis still carries a stigma with it, and it's not really a widely accessible treatment. But if we can break down the stigma associated with hypnosis, it feels like a no-brainer to me. If anything, it's surely worth a try before higher risk routes like surgery, opioids, or spinal cord stimulators. In the next episode, I'll dive into how clinical hypnosis works and what the experience of hypnosis actually feels like. See you then.